It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? I'm sure glad that you've joined us today. We're in the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 5, verse 17. Matthew chapter 5, verse 17. And so please that you'd open your Bibles to that textbook and text, and we'll enjoy the study today. And while you're doing that, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. Like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois 62341. If you would like to email us, our website, would be www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. If you would like to email us, it would be at parkviewbible@gmail.com or parkviewbiblechurch@gmail.com. And if you would like to phone us here at the church, it's 217-847-2717. Hope that was enough time now for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the study. Matthew chapter 5. We're going to begin reading with the 17th verse, Matthew 5, 17. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law, till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments, and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old times, thou shalt not kill. Whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment, and whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there remembrance that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way, and first be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer the gift. We're going to stop there with that 24th verse, and we're probably not going to get much further than verse 17 today, but I wanted to read that. It'll kind of prepare you for the rest of the study as we move through that. Let's go to the Lord in prayer now. Father, we thank and praise you that we have this opportunity to come and to enjoy the study of your precious word. I ask and I pray, Father, that many are listening, that they hear your precious words, they trust in you as their Lord and Savior, because they know that you're the only Savior. There's no other way. It's not by works, not by church membership, Father. It's not by some other made-up, man-made religion. Because this is the only way of salvation. You are the true God, the only God. Your Son was the creator of all heaven and earth, and you've given him that power and authority, Father. Thank you, most of all, for saving my soul and offering salvation to any and everyone that'll come. So please, Father, just touch every heart today. Speak to them as we enjoy this precious word, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. That 17th verse, it says, think not that I come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. In this verse, we begin an explanation to the disciples, and that they may hear and learn, because I'm sure they have heard many rumors about that Jesus, this man Jesus, he has come to destroy the very law that Moses has given us. And I'm sure that conversation and those rumors and those thoughts were around, and especially with the scribes and the Pharisees and how they held to every letter of the law, and actually it was worse than that. They went beyond every letter of the law and added to it and made their traditions more important than the law of Moses to begin with. So the Lord Jesus takes time here to explain to his disciples that what they're saying is not true. There will be a difference. When I come, I have come to fulfill the law. And so what the Jews are expecting is probably not going to take place. But as the scripture tells us here in verse 17, think not that I had come to destroy the law. Jesus knew that the Jews were likely to think that he had come to do away with the Mosaic law and rituals that they had established. Many of the rituals that they did and traditions that they had come so accustomed to, the Lord Jesus was against those because those were all man-made. But when it came to the actual law of Moses and the prophets, Jesus had no intention of destroying them or taking one part of that away, as we looked at verse 18. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. What powerful words are there. Their thought of this change came through a scripture verse, I'm sure, that they found in Jeremiah 31:31, and we'll read that. And so to kind of have an understanding of maybe why we thought there was going to be a problem here. And so we'll come up with Jeremiah. Such a joy to study the scripture, Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 31. One more page. So just listen here, and again, today it's the same way. Things are brought out of context. Jeremiah 31:31. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. So you see that the thought was there that there's going to be a change, a new covenant, it's called it there. And so with that in mind, why they wondered that the old would be done away with. And so that was their thought, their understanding. So as often, Jesus was misunderstood. They did not understand that Jeremiah, nor many of the things that Jesus did, they just didn't have that understanding. Part of it with Jesus, you know, he ate with the publicans and sinners. You know, he disregarded the Sabbath, at least under the Jewish traditions he did. And so we find that there's just much here that is a concern that they would have, that he is just totally turning everything upside down here. And so it was a problem for him. So the Jews thought Jesus was bringing in actually a revolution. He was a revolutionary. And he was bringing in a revolution, going to change everything, and he's a rebel. It was the thought of many. What had happened, the Jews had forgotten the real spirit and the real design of the Old Testament prophecies. And let's look at Luke chapter 19, Matthew, Mark, Luke. Luke chapter 19, verse 10. It tells us here very quickly, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. That is the real spirit of the law, is to understand that the law convicts and condemns does not save. The law brings you to salvation. And again, as we've read this in 19:10, the Son of Man come to seek and to save that which was lost. Again, that was the spirit and that was the design of the whole Old Testament, was to show us our sin and bring us to salvation, to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Another one that we have here in Luke is Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5, verse 31. And Jesus answered, said unto them, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but the sinner to repentance. Those seem like maybe strange statements a little bit, but they're not at all. Because until you recognize that you're lost, I had the opportunity to preach funerals, and when I do, sometimes the folks know the Lord Jesus as their Savior. Sometimes they're just religious folks. They've got a church home, and that's their salvation, and sometimes they have no church home at all. And through this radio ministry, sometimes that gives me the opportunity to present the gospel to many folks that do not know the Lord Jesus. But as I share the Word of God, the first thing that that precious Word, God's Word, must do is show them that they are lost. That's the first thing. It's got to show them that they are lost. And once they're lost, then they need to be saved. But until, as it tells us here in verse 32, it came not to call the righteous, those that don't think they need a Savior, but sinners to repentance. You recognize and you acknowledge that you're a sinner and you're lost and you need salvation. Oh, now you have hope. Once again, verse 31, the same. They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. You're sick in your sin. The wages of sin is death. If that's not a sickness, I don't know what is. You need the great physician. You need the Lord Jesus Christ to come into your heart and to save you. So please, don't miss the opportunity of salvation. Don't miss realizing or recognizing that you are a lost sinner. Don't be one of the righteous here. Don't be one of the healthy and sick. I feel just fine. Well, you're sick in your sin, and you need the physician. You need Jesus to come into your heart and to save you. We come to a word here in the 17th verse of Matthew chapter 5. Think not that I am come to destroy the law. Destroy. That word means to tear to pieces. To tear to pieces. Now, when you hear in the scripture the law, they're not talking about the Ten Commandments. They're talking about the first five books of Moses, the law. The first five books of Moses. And the rest is made up of books of the Old Testament, as would be said. Many times it is spoken as the law and the prophets, meaning the Old Testament. So if you hear the law, you're probably looking at the five books of Moses, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Now, if it's added to and the prophets, then that includes then the rest of the Old Testament. The risen Lord spoke these words in Luke 24:44. We're back to Luke again. Luke 24:44. And he said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written of the law of Moses, first five books, and the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. That is a wonderful verse of Scripture, because who does it say that the books, the law, the books of Moses, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, those books, and then the remaining of the Old Testament, and then the Lord Jesus even includes then specifically Psalms. And what does it say in the Psalm concerning me? You know, there was quite a many years ago, I'm saying probably 40 years ago, there was quite a turn. Folks in many churches did not believe that we had any use for the Old Testament. There was no need for the Old Testament. So let's just disregard it. All you need to do is carry a New Testament Bible, and that's all you need. There's a purpose for the Old Testament. The Old Testament is a picture of the Messiah that's coming. And again, it makes it so clear here. These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and in Psalms concerning me. Concerning who? Jesus. Jesus. Many years ago in a high school Sunday school class, we had some old Bibles kind of torn up and were just really old Bibles. And so we did something that I hoped would kind of help the class to recognize the need of the books of Moses and the Old Testament, the prophets, and the Psalms as well. We went through every New Testament book from Matthew to Revelation. And any quote from the Old Testament, we scratched out. We marked it out. And you can't imagine what that New Testament looked like when we took out so many of the Old Testament quotes. It just destroyed the New Testament. But worse than that, just to get rid of those lines and get rid of those words in the New Testament was one thing, but how do we understand the background of those verses of Scripture unless we have the whole text behind us? And you don't, and especially, you know, many things, but the book of Hebrews. You have no understanding of the book of Hebrews unless you've studied the books of Moses, and especially Leviticus. And once you've studied those books of Moses, those first five books, the law, you will have such a wonderful time enjoying the book of Hebrews. It is so easy and so clear, but not until you've studied the others, because it all speaks of me, Jesus said, concerning me in that verse of Scripture. So don't miss that. The law here in this verse, think not that I am come to destroy the law. That's, again, verse 17, chapter 5 of Matthew. That really is the Old Testament Scriptures in its entirety. And then it comes back, or the prophets. So it includes them. And the reason I think that he starts with the law first, destroy the law, is because many of the Jews placed more importance in the first five books than in the rest. But Jesus made it very clear that all Scripture is inspired. That's the reason he added, or the prophets. Yes, the books of Moses, or the prophets. He wanted to include all, that every part of it was God's precious inspired word. Once again, not to think that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Fulfill. To fulfill means to make full, to complete. It is more than a fulfilling. It is to a filling out or expanding or to complete. That's what we have there. But to fulfill, to complete, not to destroy, to complete. Jesus didn't come to kind of relax things and say, hey, the law is no longer important. You just live the way you want to live. He did not come to relax the, and I'm going to use the word restraints. Another person used that's very good. To relax the restraints of the law or to destroy its authority. He come to do what the law could not do because of the weakness of the flesh. Now let me read that again. Jesus came to do what the law could not do. All the things that these Pharisees and Sadducees and the scribes and all of them thought they were just fulfilling every little bit and every part of their life, and the life was full and everything was fine. It wasn't. Because the only thing the law could do is condemn. That's it. And that's the reason I love the tabernacle, because when we get the plans to the tabernacle, we get the plans to the tabernacle the same time that we got the law. When we got the law condemned, and the tabernacle is a site of grace. And it shows us redemption. Now, they needed to bring sacrifices continually, because Jesus had not fulfilled the law. Jesus had not died. He was the perfect sacrifice. He shed his blood. But all those Old Testament sacrifices that were brought, that held them just for a period of time. And it had to be renewed over and over again because it just covered the sin. It did not take it away. Understand, it is the weakness of the flesh, the reason that we could not keep the law. Romans 8. We're born sinners. Acts, Romans. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 2, 3, and 4. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. That's what the law did. It brought sin and death. We have the sin, but because the law was perfect, we can't keep it. It condemns us. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. See, Jesus fulfilled the law. And when we come by faith to Jesus, then we are partakers of that. We too then have been set free. We are no longer locked under that sin and death that sin has brought, because we know Jesus as our Savior. Romans chapter 10, verse 4. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. The reason he is the end of the law, not to destroy it, but he fulfilled it. He fulfilled the law. The law is not designed to forgive sins or to save sinners. Romans 3:20. Got a lot of good verses of Scripture here in Romans. Romans 3:20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. It condemns. We need a Savior, and that Savior is the Lord Jesus. Jesus was the fulfillment of all Old Testament offerings, sacrifices, the ceremonies that was set up, the feasts, those things as we had the Day of Atonement, the Passover, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Feast of Trumpets, all these ceremonies, all these things he come to fulfill. Everything that was observed under the law, Jesus fulfilled them. Jesus was made under the law. Let's go to Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4, verse 4 and 5. But when the fulfillment of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. What a beautiful promise that Scripture has given us. What a joy it is to come by faith to Jesus Christ and believe in the heart that Jesus died on the cross to set us free. By his holy, sinless life and his sacrificial death on the cross, Jesus fulfilled all the types that was contained in the law of Moses. Fulfilled it. Fulfilled it all. Let's read Galatians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on the tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. What a joy to study the Scripture. What a joy it is to just look to the Word of God and look at all the verses of Scripture that we were able to cover today, and yet we only got through one verse, Matthew chapter 5, verse 17. Think not that I come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. And then the promise comes from the very mouth of the Lord Jesus. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Till all be fulfilled. What a wonderful, wonderful scripture. We have Hebrews chapter 9. We have Romans chapter 3. And for us to read that, and we need to, we will start there next time that we get the chance to come together. Because it begins here in chapter 9, verse 11, but Christ being made a high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not with this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkled the unclean sanctify to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purged your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Now, we're going to start back there at the 11th verse. Because, again, if you don't have any understanding of those precious books of Moses, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, you don't even know what we're talking about there. Those offerings, those sacrifices, the tabernacle, what's that mean? Well, we're going to talk about that, so we'll start right there, and we'll enjoy that next time we have an opportunity to get together. It's wonderful, my friend. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?